Good evening, everyone.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Jennifer Kotler, and this is Spiritually Speaking. I am so excited to be on with you tonight and to get a chance to share a little bit about me and the work that I do in spiritual coaching, and also share with you some of the other values and some of the other hosts that are going to be joining you on Life Coach Radio. We are so excited to have launched Life Coach Radio Network last week with our premiere broadcast, and I am one of the first shows to air. Last night we had a fantastic Life Coach chat episode with a number of different coaches on to talk about issues. In the next few days, we're going to be having, tomorrow night is Value Add, Living Your Values on Tuesday at 9 p.m. Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern and 8 p.m. London, live from London, it's going to be David Benjamin Citrone's Transform Your Life in 60 Minutes. Now, that's one heck of a deal for you, but I'll tell you that David's a fantastic host, and I know that you wouldn't be disappointed listening in for that. And then on Friday, we're going to have another Life Coach chat, which is Free Coaching Friday. So if you're interested in getting some life coaching, we're going to have some fantastic coaches on to bring you that on Friday. But this is Spiritually Speaking, and I'm your host, Reverend Jennifer Kotler. So I am going to just start out by talking to you a little bit about my story and how I got into coaching, and know that you can call in at any time to join the conversation. The call-in number is area code 646-716-9397. Again, that's 646-716-9397. And as I said, I'm going to share a little bit with you about my story. I never expected to become a life coach. I thought I actually didn't even really know what life coaching is or was, and maybe some of you are asking yourself that same question. Like, what does a life coach do, and why on earth would I need one? Well, I found myself in a situation with a friend of mine, Tommy Brown, who was coming to New York City to attend the first session of a life coach training program, and he could take a guest for the first 3 days, all day Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And as many of you know, I'm a pastor. I was serving in a church here in New York City, and I saw the value in just, you know, getting a little bit more information about what coaching was, and, you know, so that I could help the folks in my congregation and learn some skills and techniques for really just working with them. Well, I went to the training. It was 3 10-hour days, and I thought, oh my goodness, if I could survive being in a room with 50 other people for 10 hours a day for 3 days, that will be a minor miracle. Well, I'm here to tell you, I not only survived, I thrived. At the end of that 3 days, I was energized and I was excited and I had learned so much. And I thought, boy, I could see myself doing this. And I saw really the transformational change value that can be found in life coaching. As life coaches, what we strive to do is work with folks to really find out what their passion is, help them to discover really what makes them shine, what makes you want to get up in the morning, what makes you want to live your life in, you know, an incredibly powerful way, and to be able to give that to someone as a gift and to help them really and truly find their vocation and discern really where they feel being called in life, I think is really a call for me as not just a person and a life coach, but as a minister. And this is sort of, I see this as the next step in my ministry. So after that incredible weekend, I decided that I would take an entire coaching training and became a certified professional coach at the beginning of February of this year. And unfortunately, a few weeks after that, I had my job disappear. There was a restructure at the church where I was serving, and really within a matter of hours, I found that I no longer had a position and was left with thinking, you know, what am I going to do? What's next for me? And because I had done this coach training program, it seemed as if God was just really opening a door for me and saying, you know what? This is where you're being called to be next. This is where I need you to be. And to really take this transformational message of love and passion and vocation and discernment and call out of the church, maybe out of theological language, and put this into language that real people can understand and real people can appreciate and get a lot from. I'm finding that, you know, when we talk about God, it's a turnoff for some folks. And it's often a turnoff because folks have been wounded by the traditional church. Every person who I know who maybe has gone to church at some point in their background and stopped going to church, there's usually one or two experiences, and they can retell these stories like they happened yesterday, because people are just, there's so much pain involved with individuals' stories around faith and the ways in which faith had been used as a weapon, or faith had just been had been misconstrued in ways that weren't helpful for them. And I'm really, and it pains me. It pains me as someone who loves the church, who loves God, and who loves people to see the ways in which Christianity specifically, at least that's the faith tradition that I come and that I know most about, but also all faith traditions have been used for ill and not for good. And I love Christianity. I know that the way of Jesus for me is one of love, and that, you know, I can talk about love and I can use love as synonymous for God. For many folks, I know it's that God talk is uncomfortable, that so feel free at any point in the conversation to really use the, think of spirit, think of love, think of higher power, whatever term really works for you and resonates for you. I understand God to be something that is deep, deepest within all of us, and that when we tap into that which is deepest within ourselves, that's where God lies. That's where our deepest joy and our deepest passion comes from. And when we tap into that deepest part of ourselves, then we really can live our lives in passion and joy and knowing that we're doing work that we have been called to do, that we as individuals have been called to live in a way that is just the most passionate and the most deeply fulfilling, because it's what the world needs. There's a wonderful quote from Frederick Buechner, and I'm going to pray that I get it right, because often I get some things turned around, but he talks about how, you know, it's when the world's deepest need meets our deepest passion. And when those two things are brought together, that's vocation, that's call, that's ministry, small M ministry, small C church, not any particular brand or faith or denomination, but it's really tapping into that which is deepest within us. So tonight, one of the things that I wanted to focus some of our time on is just this understanding of where to start. And a wonderful book, Naked Spirituality, by a friend of mine, Brian McLaren, is, I think, a wonderful place to start, especially for folks who may be questioning faith or not really understanding what faith or spirituality or why I should even bother. What does it have to do with me? I've lived for 30 or 40 or 50 years without this to this point. So why on earth would I need something like this? But Brian writes in his book, Naked Spirituality, he says, so I decided to work with a simple word here because it subverts the assumption that we have God names figured out and properly targeted. Instead, it places us out in the woods, so to speak, calling out so that we can be found by the one seeking us. Here I am in the presence of a mystery. Here I am in the presence of a presence who transcends, surpasses, overflows, and exceeds every attempt at definition, description, and even conception. Here you are, whoever you are, however similar or dissimilar you are to my preconceived notions of you, may the real I and the real you become present to one another here and now. Whether I feel I'm seeking God, calling out, is anybody here? Or whether I feel God is calling out to me and I respond, here I am, I think the simple word here can do something amazingly comprehensive. Through it, I show up. I come out of hiding. I let myself be found. The teacher is taking attendance, and I tell the teacher that I'm present and ready to learn. This acknowledgement of mutual here-ness becomes the prelude to mutual nearness. Through mutual presentation, the soul and God open the way for deep connection. There's an old theological term for this practice of awakening, of becoming present to the presence, invocation. The word suggests a summoning. But of course, God isn't busy out in the backyard needing to be called inside to meet us in the kitchen. No, God has been with us all along, even though we may have been too busy or distracted, too groggy or sick, or simply too immature to notice. Through invocation, we are calling inward to our own souls, summoning ourselves to wake up so we can attend to the present in whose attention we are held and in whom we live and move and have our being. Here can help awaken us to our situation as well. Here I am at this point in history, within today's swirl of politics and economics, within epical shifts in climate and plate tectonics, and within the ongoing drama of human civilization and its discontents. Here I am at this point in my own story, as a child, a teenager, an adult, a senior citizen. Here I am, on this grass, on this hill, looking up at the sky. Here I am, on this unique day in the history of the universe, with that bird singing over there, those planes flying overhead, these plants springing up around me, each thing with its own unique luminosity. Here I am, in this predicament, in this catastrophe, in this boring afternoon, in this hospital bed with all this beeping, buzzing, humming equipment. Here I am, with all my problems and faults, all my embarrassments and mistakes, all my worrying conscious thoughts, and all my subconscious rumblings and doubts. Here I am, walking down this aisle, taking this exam, in between these contractions, about to deliver this lecture, in the middle of this divorce, writing this book. I don't have to be somewhere else. Right here is okay. In fact, It's the only place I can be to begin to awaken spiritually. Here. Now. Just as I am. I'm really thankful for Brian's words because it really is a reminder that all we need in order to be present to the divine within us, to begin to understand where we go and what life is about, to recognize where we are in our very lives. And, you know, here I am on Blog Talk Radio talking to you and sharing with you some of my story. Here I am starting a new venture, learning how to be present with people in the most challenging times of their lives, helping folks to discern what it is that God is calling them to do and to be. Here I am, working with churches and communities to learn how to be more engaged politically, doing community organizing training, doing advocacy training, teaching people how to be the presence of God in some of the most challenging places. Here I am. And I'm thankful that tonight I get to spend this time with you. Many of you might not know a minister or a pastor or have that relationship with someone who has that training, has that recognition by a particular religious tradition. Many of you may know religious teachers or yogi or folks who are spiritual. You may have connected to others spiritually through recovery groups or through discussion groups, small groups. But I really know that when I'm in the presence of God, that here I am and I stand literally naked. I stand before God in all of my flaws. And you know, the most simple of prayers is please, when we want to ask God for something, to say thank you. When we just have an appreciation for who we are and the life that we live. There's so many different ways that people come to know the presence of God in their lives. That, you know, this often comes through, for some people, reading spiritual or meditative books. Others for learning how to do meditation and to spend time really in deep reflection and meditation every day. For others, it's experiencing prayer and learning how to pray and to deeply connect with that which is most spiritual within us. And for other folks, it may be, you know, attending worship and becoming a part of a community. I have to tell you a story about being a part of a community in Westchester over the past week that most of you probably would not consider a particularly spiritual experience. But this church, the Presbyterian women of the First Presbyterian Church of Katona, I'm just going to name them because I think they're a pretty special group of women. Every year they put on a rummage sale. Now, this is no ordinary rummage sale. This is a rummage sale on steroids. I've never seen anything quite like it. It starts on Sunday after worship. Everybody came to worship on Sunday, those who were able to stay and help in their jeans and their shorts and their t-shirts. And after worship, there's a time of lunch and fellowship. And at noon, the cars start pulling up. And this is quite the aberration. And between the hours of noon and 5 on Sunday, people just kept bringing donations. They brought clothes and electronics and knickknacks and jewelry and sweaters and shoes and sports equipment and children's gear and lawn furniture and furniture and more furniture and more furniture. I think this year they had never seen as much furniture as they received on Sunday. And so there's just this, it just kept coming, and it was so well organized. Everybody knew where the donations were to go once they were determined what they were. And it was such an amazing time of folks pulling together, doing this for a good cause, because this rummage sale started on Monday at 10 a.m., and folks were there in line ready to come in to get the first shot at some of the treasures. There were the inside clothes sale didn't start until Wednesday. Excuse me. They had an inside boutique where they had some of the more special things that were donated that were for sale. And the amazing thing about this is the way in which this entire church women's group, church community pulled together to make this happen. And it's a long week and it's a tiring week, and everybody is tired at the end. And then Saturday we spent time pulling things back together. And by Saturday afternoon, you didn't even really know that that the rummage sale had happened in the church. Everything was cleaned up. And at the end, they raised about $35,000. Now, that is a remarkable amount to raise from a rummage sale. And every penny of the money that is raised goes out the door to missions, local missions, overseas missions. It's really a remarkable, remarkable thing that these women and this community pulls together to raise this money. And I was just really, I was really honored to get to be a part of that and to be a part of that community, because for these women and for this church, one of the ways that they feel best about what they do is when they do rummage, because they're all working together, they're all working for a common cause, and they all see that at the end of the day, all of the money that is raised is going to help people. The other thing is that for many folks who come to shop at the rummage sale, there are things that certainly they may not be able to afford, but they could afford because it's at the rummage sale. So not only through the money raised are they providing a service, but they're really providing a service to folks in the community who might not otherwise be able to afford the kinds of things that they can purchase during rummage. So anyway, I'll get off the topic of rummage, but I just have to tell you, at the end of April every year, the rummage sale at the First Presbyterian Church in Katona, New York, is pretty remarkable. And you might just want to come and do a little shopping, do a little browsing, and see what this is all about. But there are so many ways that communities of all faiths and of all spiritual traditions around the globe gather together in order to really become more deeply connected to one another and more deeply connected to the God that they understand and the God of their understanding. So once again, I just want to let you know that if you want to call and join the conversation, you're welcome. The number is 646-716-9397. Again, that's 646-716-9397. And it will ask you if you want to be put in the queue. And so definitely push your button with the one button to let me know that you would like to share. But I'm so excited that I get this chance to share with all of you when I first started thinking about the possibility of doing this blog talk radio show, I shared with my husband that I might want to call it You Haven't Got a Prayer. And he was like, oh, no, you can't call it that. He's like, nobody will tune into a show called You Haven't Got a Prayer. I was like, well, but it's for spirituality, for folks who may not be all that spiritual. He's like, no, no, you can't call it You Haven't Got a Prayer. So anyway, we did settle on spiritually speaking, because it's just a way to think about our life and our journey together. One of the things that I often do, especially if I'm preparing a sermon, is to really focus on the scripture, that the text for that particular Sunday. And I happen to be preaching this Sunday, so I've got a text that I've been mulling over in my mind, and I think it's just a wonderful text for thinking about the kind of transformational change that coaching and spiritual coaching can bring. And it's from the prophet Isaiah, which is in the Hebrew scriptures. And it's the 55th chapter. And it says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the water. And you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so you may live. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." This chapter is entitled, "An Invitation to Abundant Life." And I love that as an image, just the image of the trees clapping their hands, really nature celebrating the joy that we can find within our lives. You know, we find so many people are really struggling. There's so many folks who are in need of connection with other people, with God. I had a wonderful conversation today with a young woman who I mentor, and we were talking about this, and she was saying how for her generation, those who are in their 20s, there's just a real hunger for connection. There's a real hunger to think about, how do I create the life that I want? Because for these folks, so many of them have been, you know, I think we all, from a certain perspective, grow up with an understanding that things are supposed to be a certain way. So if you are, if you go to school and you do the right thing and you graduate and you have gotten good grades, you should be able to come out and get a job that will enable you to make a real living, to, you know, find someone to love, to start a family. But for so many folks, this is not the way that they're finding life. Life is a lot harder for them, for folks who are in their 20s very often, than it is for folks who are older than it was for their parents. So folks are really questioning whether what their lives are about and how do they really create the kind of life that they're looking for, and speaking the life and understanding, you know, and really recognizing exactly what it is that they want from life. It's not as easy as it might seem. You know, a lot of folks struggle with finding work or finding work that's of value in an economic time that has been really a challenge. So we were talking, and she was just sharing about how, you know, she took a risk. She decided that she was going to step back from a job that she could have kept for another year, and which provided housing, to really step out on faith, to walk in a way that feels as if it has much more integrity for her. So, you know, whatever it is that you're seeking, if you're really trying to figure out what God is calling and really what your deepest needs are, it's great to work with a coach. I love coaching because I never do this much talking when I'm coaching. I do much more listening when I'm coaching, and I ask a lot of questions. So if there are any of you out there who would like to call in and be a part of the conversation, I'd love to ask you some questions and get some of your perspective on if you have, you know, a question. You're welcome to call in. The call-in number is 646-716-9397. I'm just going to give a little shout out to my colleagues who are going to be coming up on the Life Coach Radio Network this week. Tomorrow at 9, we've got Value Add, Living Your Values, which is a Life Coach chat. So there'll be three hosts on to talk together about values and what it means to live out your values. On Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern, live from London, David Citrone will be doing his program, which is called Transform Your Life in 60 Minutes. And then on Friday at noon Eastern, there's Life Coach Chat, Free Coaching Friday. So we really look forward to having folks being a part of a number of all of our Life Coach Radio Network programming that's happening both this week and coming up. It's going to be we're shooting for having a show every day through the end of May and into June and July, and really working through the summer. There's going to be an incredible number of really wonderful hosts. My friend Kathleen Brady will be doing a show called Get a Job. She's a wonderful transitional life coach who works with folks who are trying to change careers, and I really look forward to her being on for that. And again, if you want to call in, the number is 646-716-9397, and make sure that you do push the number 1 so that I know that you're in the queue and interested in talking to me. So, I wanted to share just a little bit about this idea of transformation and what that might look like in someone's life. You know, it's really easy for us to wake up and sort of be in a rut and move forward, just going through the motions every day and not necessarily connecting with that which is deepest in us. So I'm going to hold that thought for just a minute, and I believe we have a caller. So I'm going to connect. Are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, who is this?
This is Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
I'm great, Jen. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I'm so glad that you called in. What did you want to talk about?
Well, I just want to congratulate you on the show. It's awesome. And me and Mona, you know Mona, have been messaging back and forth about how much we love you and how great the show is, and how, and I just wanted to say that I really need this, and so it's great to have this outlet. So thank you so much for putting yourself out there for us.
Oh, you're so sweet. I really appreciate it. And you know, you and Mona, and you know, I know that it's tough.
Yes.
You know, it's tough.
Yes.
Figuring out what, you know, what life is going to look like. I know.
Yes,
a little bit.
I was just going to say, I think everybody in their different stages in life have a mystery. You know, there's always a mystery to be solved. And, you know, it's nice to have someone objective and non-judgmental who can help to unlock that mystery, or at least not make the mystery so scary.
Mm.
And, you know, and I think that that's really valuable. And, you know, we all just need a little bit of direction sometime. My question to you is, and this is mainly for, you know, people out there who are seeking guidance or who are not sure where to turn. I know that pastors are trained to give advice or trained to give, you know, guidance and direction, but at what point do you recommend that people seek, you know, therapy or more serious intervention?
That is a great question. That is a great question, Rebecca, because I think a lot of folks don't necessarily know where to turn when, you know, they're really struggling. And so as a pastor, we're trained to provide pastoral care. And that's really, I like to describe it as a ministry of presence, that I'm just with people in the midst of their challenge, whatever it is that I'm, you know, and I'm not going to let folks, you know, who don't want to walk through whatever it is that they're going through by themselves.
Right.
Now, as a coach, I might approach that by, you know, trying to help the person look at the situation somewhat differently, maybe challenge some underlying assumptions or beliefs, or challenge, you know, how they're approaching the situation in a gentle way, but just, you know, help folks maybe see the situation differently and see if that changes the way that they're able to address it. And what I've learned both through my training in ministry and in coaching is that when folks are really struggling and they're really depressed, I am sure as heck going to make sure that I refer to a licensed therapist, a psychotherapist who can help them work through whatever issues that they have at a much deeper level. You know, as a coach, as a pastor, I'm going to be there with you, and as a coach, I'm going to help you to move forward. But I'm certainly not trained as a psychotherapist to do that, do the heavy lifting around issues that may have a much, you know, more deep, you know, genesis. Does that make sense?
Yes, that is awesome. And I think it's important to, you know, recognize, you know, what that line is between, like, just someone who, you know, needs a little direction as opposed to someone who's really, like, in a bad place. You know, consistently in a bad place. So, yeah, that's really good. And thank you. I mean, again, because I think so many people are missing, you know, it's like you were saying, you know, about the person who, you know, she's just seeking connections with people, and I think a lot of us are, as connected as we are, you know, via social media or whatever, you know, being connected to each other is really important. So thank you for that, and thank you for, you know, sharing that with us.
Well, thanks, Rebecca. Thanks for calling in.
Of course.
Appreciate it.
Yay!
Okay.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye.
So I'm really thankful that Rebecca called in, and thanks to she and Mona for listening, and I know, and thank you to all of you for listening. I was really rather overwhelmed by the number of you who said that you would be listening tonight, or that you might be listening tonight, and the ones of you who said, oh, I'm not going to be able to listen tonight, but I'm going to come back and listen to it on the archive. So thank you, everyone, for that. If you are interested in calling in and joining the conversation, again, the number is 646-716-9397. If you have any questions, feel free to give me a call and let me know. Just push number one so I know that you have a question. Otherwise, I'll just assume that you're calling because you didn't have a good connection on your online connection. So I really appreciate that Rebecca raised the question about the difference between coaching and pastoral care and therapy. And as I mentioned when we started the program, what I understand that I do in coaching is spiritual coaching, and that does encompass all areas of life and all areas of you know, helping folks to really, again, connect with that which is deepest within them, that is most divine, that is hopefully something that they are really, you know, anxious to tap into. There's a wonderful quote that I wanted to share from John Lennon about this. And he said, I believe in God, but not as one thing, not as an old man in the sky. I believe that what people call God is something in all of us. I believe that what Jesus and Muhammad and Buddha and all the rest said was right. It's just that the translations have gone wrong. And I really appreciated that. It really speaks to that which is deepest within us is most divine, and it is what connects us both to spirit and to the transformational power of that spirit, but also it connects us to one another. And that's really the kind of community that you can find in spirituality, in a church community or in a synagogue or in a as a wonderful women's circle that I have been blessed to be a part of. It's Women of Faith and Spirit, and this is a group of women who meet in New York, and they're part of a much larger women's circle movement, and it's women who are Christian and or Jewish or no particular faith but spiritual, and it's really a connection about how do we come together as people, understanding that divinity within us, and that the connection that divinity creates among the people who are in that circle at that particular time. And conversations are deep, and they start with, you know, here's an issue that I've been thinking about. How have you been thinking about this? How does this resonate with you or not resonate with you? You look at a number of different things and ways to understand spirituality. And it just for me has been such a blessing to come together with other women and to connect with them on a plane and in a place where it really is about connecting to one another. So again, if you have a question, we've got about 15 minutes left. And the number is 646-716-9397. And if you'd like to join the conversation, please give me a call. I'm looking forward to the rest of the week. I've given a couple of shout-outs to the folks who are coming up this week, but I just want to mention that tomorrow, since we're talking about values and the things that are of our deepest values tonight, there's going to be another call tomorrow evening at 9 p.m., not 8 p.m., but 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio, Life Coach Radio Network, and it's going to be a life coach chat. So you'll not just get one perspective, but you'll get three perspectives from three different life coaches. One really quick quote from Anne Lamott that I wanted to share, and this really speaks to the issue of religion versus spirituality and how we understand God. And as you probably have figured out by now, I have a very broad understanding of God and spirit, and maybe not traditional for Christian audiences, but I believe that very often in our scriptures, if we could replace the word God with love, and that love, that spirit of love, is truly of what is divine and what brings us together. And too often, what we've seen in our various religions, when they have been and they've misconstrued God as something other than love, that's what I think has challenged a lot of people and why they maybe no longer believe in God or any kind of spiritual realm. There's a wonderful quote from Anne Lamott who says, "You can safely assume you've created God in your own image when it turns out that God hates all the same people you do." And I do love that. It makes me laugh. And I think it's just a wonderful way, it's a wonderful reminder that, you know, there's another quote that at this point I can't remember, and I'm not fast enough to look up on the computer, but, you know, it was that at the end, when God was finished creating humanity and God's image, humanity turned around and returned the favor, that humanity then began to create God in our own image. And so I love that quote from Anne Lamott, because it's just such a good reminder that what we need to be about is not necessarily defining God or trying to put God in a box, but tapping into God, whether that's in here in New York, walking through Central Park in the spring. I'm here to tell you it is beautiful. If you're listening in from somewhere else in the country, you are missing a real treat, because we've had incredible weather and all of Central Park is in bloom, and I can't walk through Central Park even with a million of my closest friends living in very close proximity and not really feel deeply connected to God through nature. That's one of the ways for me that where I really see God. I also see God in the people that I come in contact with. I saw God a lot of times during rummage in the past week with the women who were there working and the men who were there working and all of the people who were there, and just the spirit of joy. I saw God today in the woman at the coffee shop at Barnard College, where I went twice today, and she was just a joy. She was a joy to me to have connected with, just for that short amount of time. I think, you know, too often we rush through life and we don't necessarily connect with all of the people who are truly, you know, truly available for connection, truly available for us to be in relationship with. We are oftentimes so busy or rushing from point A to point B. I know that many of my fellow New Yorkers will be able to attest to the fact that, you know, we don't connect with people on the subway, and we are, you know, in very, very close proximity to one another. And I can probably tell you, you know, count on one hand or maybe two the amount of times that I've really encountered and been in conversation with someone on public transportation. Because, again, you know, it's not done. So we don't do it because there's a protocol and you don't look at people and you don't engage people on the subway. The times when I found that I have, it's been usually around children, because children have not yet learned the rule that they're not supposed to talk to people on the subway, or that they're not supposed to look at people on the subway, especially babies or toddlers, or pets. You know, occasionally you'll see there'll be a small dog in one of the doggy purses on the subway, and I generally can't help myself but get into a conversation with the person who is on that. Many of you may think that New Yorkers aren't particularly friendly people, but I have seen more New Yorkers willing to help tourists when they're lost, trying to figure out how to get from point A to point B, and almost to the point of, you know, well, I'm going to get off at this stop, and if you want to follow me, I'll show you where it is. Really helpful. And again, you know, the opportunity to connect, to help someone, to really be willing to take the time to see God in someone else is a blessing, and it's a blessing that we can claim every day. It's an everyday blessing that really can help to connect us to what is most deep within us, because that love that we show to others, comes from that very deep place, that divine place where God lives and resides within each of us. And so, you know, whether it's meditating on your favorite book, reading a devotion, spending time in prayer, you know, going through liturgy, Episcopal morning prayer. That was one of the Episcopal morning prayer was one of the things that got me through seminary. I really loved and very much appreciated that. So we have another caller, and so I am going to unmute. Hi, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, who is this?
This is Kristen.
Hi, Kristen. How are you?
I'm doing really well, thanks. I was listening to your broadcast. Great, wonderful. Thank you for providing this to so many.
Thank you. I'm so glad. What did you want to talk about?
Well, I was going to respond to your comments about children and how they are so innocent and allow us to open up to others. My 9-month-old is a magnet for people. And no matter where I go, people stop and just want to talk to her. And I don't know how many people have said, oh, my gosh, you know, my daughter lives so far away and I miss my grandchild. And, you know, it's almost as though they're just searching for an opportunity to give a connection to a loved one that's not there. And they just, oh, you made my day. I'm so happy. You know, just a little smile can just light people up. And I think it just makes me really anxious to just talk to other people and be open to that and to the love, you know, that you had mentioned.
Yeah. Well, it helps that your little one is just as adorable as she could possibly be. No bias at all. But yeah, I mean, it really is, I find it's amazing because, you know, kids will smile at you and, you know, what do? You just smile back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I notice here when I'm, you know, walking down the street, if I smile or speak to someone, they're just so shocked that that somebody's speaking to them.
People look down instead of looking up. It's, you know.
Right. Yeah, because it's just, you know, the unspoken rule is that you don't speak, you don't smile, you don't talk to strangers. And
you turn around in the elevator and face the door.
Right. Everybody faces the door. Nobody looks up on the subway. You know, you could be, you're literally body up against body, but you don't talk to people, especially during rush hour. So, yeah, it's crazy, but it's really beautiful the way that children open up that door for connection with other people. And I'm really glad that you've seen that, you know, as one of the many joys of having your little one.
Oh, yeah. She's just such a blessing.
Yeah. She's great. So,
yay. Well, thank you. You're doing a great job.
Thanks, Kristen. I appreciate it. It's great to talk to you. Take care.
You as well. Thank you. Look forward to the next one.
All right, great. Thank you. And speaking of the next one, I'm not going to have another spiritually speaking during the month of May. I won't be back until June 17th, which is a Monday night, June 17th. It's the day after Father's Day. I will. I'm looking forward already to being back on the air and with you then. I am going to be traveling for about 3 months, listen to me, 3 weeks at the end of this month. So since I'll be out of town, I'm not able to sort of be back and in the swing of things until mid-June. So looking forward to being back on June 17th to talking to many of you more and then hopefully in July being on twice, probably two Monday nights. But we'll let you know when Spiritually Speaking is going to be on. I hope that you'll continue to check back with the Life Coach Radio Network to see what episodes are on. Again, we're always found at www.blogtalkradio.com/Life Coach Radio Network. And that will show you all the episodes that are coming up. And again, once more to give a shout out to my colleagues who have shows coming up this week. Tomorrow night at 9 p.m., we'll have Value Add, Living Your Values on Life Coach Chat. Thursday live from London at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. London Time, David Citrone's Transform Your Life in 60 Minutes. And I'm going to believe that he can make it happen. I have no doubt. And then Friday, what could be better than free coaching? Life Coach Chat, Free Coaching Friday at noon Eastern time. Now it's 9 o'clock for those of you who are on the West Coast. And if you, you know, wake up and you need some free coaching, that would be the place to come and to find it. So I really want to thank everyone who called in this evening, those of you who tuned in, who are listening, who listened for part of it, who are listening to all of it. You're wonderful, and I appreciate all of you. And for those of you who weren't able to listen live but are able to go back and listen to the archive version, I so appreciate every single one of you and all of the support and love that I have felt in my preparation leading up to tonight. So I look forward to doing more shows with the On Life Coach Radio Network, More Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen, and I will look forward to being with you on June 17th. So good night, everyone.